All right, let's pray. Father, I pray that the words I speak today will be your words, that our hearts and minds will be open to understanding, hearing from you, and that each of us will receive a word and an encouragement today. We pray that you'll help us to know you more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Out of all the people throughout history, who would you most like to meet? It can be someone alive today or someone that's passed away, obviously. Who would that person be? Anyone like to share? So I'm going to ask you a few questions today. So be prepared. Any takers?
I would say Jesus, but you're probably looking for someone other than Jesus.
Well, he'd be my first choice too, yes. But yes. I was thinking, well, he's still alive. He's here. I can get to know him. That's yeah. True. He's the only choice, but yeah, probably someone other than Jesus.
Yeah. Elijah.
Elijah. Yep.
Yeah. I've been reading a lot about him lately, and I'd like to ask him a few questions.
Yeah. Give him a few others, I think.
What was it like riding that chariot?
mountain when the wind and the earthquake and the fire and all that happened.
Yep. Anyone else?
David.
Yep.
David.
David, yep.
And
David. David, speak up, sweetheart.
From David and
Eli. Yeah, yes. You have known him. King David, yeah?
Yep. That'd be good.
So, why would you like to meet King David?
To know what it was like going up against the Goliath.
Mm-hmm. To see if he really was scared?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a really good question to think, well, you know, like, when you saw him, what was your first reaction? And, you know? I know for me, Paul, he seemed to have a grip on most things about God and Jesus than anyone else. So, but then it depends if there's something specific you wanted to know, because like, if you wanted to know more about love, probably someone like the Apostle John would be the one to go to. Thankfully, we do have some of their thoughts and testimonies that were inspired by the Holy Spirit in the scriptures that we can read. Is there a specific question that you would like to ask that person, or something that you'd like to know from that person? I know for me, if I was to speak to Paul and say, you know, what have I got to do in my life to get that same fire and passion for the Lord that he had? You know, there's his zeal and dedication, and you know, he was, you know, a man that was on fire, and he was seemed to be full of energy and that sort of thing. So, that'd be the thing I'd like to speak to him about. But as we as Malcolm alluded to before, if there was one person other than the person I'd most like to know better is Jesus, and the good news is he's still alive today.
Yeah.
And we do have the opportunity to get to know him better. So, why do I want to get to know Jesus? Because Jesus is the way to know God. And I want to know God. Do you want to know God more?
Yeah.
Good. Well, let's see how Jesus is the way to know God. John 14, verses 6 to 9 says the following. Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." And then Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." And Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you?" I think there's a little bit of frustration in Jesus' teaching there, because disciples sometimes, and you know, we're no different, are a bit slow on the uptake till the light bulb goes ding and they finally get it. And you know, Paul expands on this further in Colossians verses 15 and 19. So verse 15 says, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God." And then in verse 19, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ." So God knows us, but he also wants us to know him as well. So yes, God knows everyone, and he knows everything about everyone. Their innermost thoughts, their hopes, their dreams, their plans, pains, disappointments, how many hairs they have, it even says in the scriptures. But he doesn't have a relationship with everyone. If you've got your Bible, you can turn to Psalm 139. We'll read it together if you haven't. That's all right, because I'll be reading it out anyway. But if we go to Psalm 139, just let me know when you're ready and then we'll continue on. So Psalm 139 is a psalm of David. Evelyn mentioned David before. And he was, God spoke of David as a man after my own heart. It's a pretty special thing for God to say that about you. And it says this psalm was for the choir director. So probably was originally written to music, may have even been sung. We don't know exactly, but there's obviously some musical content in this. And, oh, if it's for the choir director, they obviously sung it. Okay, we all ready?
What version are you reading?
I've got the NLT, if you want to put that on your version there. All right, so from verse 1. "O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me. And your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in the darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate parts, made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvellous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I cannot even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. And then down to verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Was there a verse that stood out to you there? I know for me, verse 10, he's talking about all these different places, but it says, even, doesn't matter where we are, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I found that a very encouraging verse. So when we go through this psalm, do you think God knows us? When we read that psalm? Yes, and even better than we know ourselves a lot of the time. To be known by God, as King David describes in this psalm, is an incredibly special and wonderful privilege. It's obvious he wants to be intimately involved in our lives and desires to help, guide and care for us. To be known by God is precious, but it's also obvious from this psalm that God wants us to know him too. So how can we do that? Well, Jesus has made a way for us. How has he made a way for us? That's a question for you. How has Jesus made a way for us to know God?
Well, he opened the door by paying for our sin on the cross and rising again.
Exactly.
Came to earth. Came as a person that we could relate to, which gives us an ability to relate to God.
He came fully as a man and showed us that, how to relate to God properly. But, if he hadn't come and died on the cross, means our sin would still be undealt with. And I forget what scripture is now. What the Hebrews where it says the blood of animals and that, the sacrifices, weren't enough to pay for our sin. It's only the blood of Jesus. And that has been paid for now. So all of our sins, yesterday, today and tomorrow, have all been dealt with. But more than that, as you mentioned, Malcolm, he rose again. So in his resurrection, he overcame the ultimate enemy, death. No one else that could overcome death and rise again. So even in the church, I'm not sure if it was Barry last week, sometimes people are have been risen from the dead. Even Jesus himself brought Lazarus out of the tomb, but he still did die again, whereas Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He ascended into heaven. So he removed those barriers between us and the Father. Sin is gone, and when we die, we'll be raised again to eternal life. So it means when we believe in Jesus and surrender to him, give him our lives, we can come into his presence. But the way is made clear. So Jesus made it possible for us to have a relationship with him through his death on the cross. He's made a way to bring us back into God's holy family. God the Father now sees us as his dear children and co-heirs with our brother Jesus in his eternal kingdom. Wow, what an amazing privilege, what an amazing gift. And we had nothing to do it except believe, accept it. It's all done for us. But as well as making a way, as Anne alluded to, Jesus showed us the way in his life here on earth. Jesus' life is the perfect example of how to live with God and man. That's why he said to Philip, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." He was the perfect representation of who God is. He showed us the way with his words, his actions, that tell us about who he is, what he did, why he did it, the attitude of his heart, his flawless character. He reveals everything we need to know about God. He fulfilled the desires of his Father's heart. He knew what his Father wanted him to do and say. He lived to please his Father and completed the work his Father gave him to establish his kingdom here on earth. Jesus was able to do this because he had a perfect relationship with his Father, who lived in him through his Holy Spirit. Remember at his baptism, God's Holy Spirit descended upon him, and God said, "This is my dear Son, whom I'm well pleased with." And Jesus tells us this in John 10:13, where he says, "The Father and I are one." So Jesus means he and the Father are the same. They're united, of one accord, indistinguishable, inseparable, of one heart and mind, with one plan and purpose. They are one. So can we be one with Jesus, like he is with the Father? Can we know him intimately? Yes. Well, how? Jesus has given us the gift of his Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in him when he walked here on earth and still is indwelt with him. We can only fully know Jesus through his Holy Spirit, who reveals who Jesus is and helps us understand who and what he has made us to be. His Spirit helps us align our desire and character with God. He brings to remembrance what Jesus taught us. He remembers us to do his, he empowers us to do his work. He's like a hotline to heaven, like when we pray in tongues, giving us a direct communication with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And when we think about the Holy Spirit's role in our lives, the Greek word that's used for Holy Spirit mainly is paraclete, but that's translated in many different English words, and I think that is quite helpful because there's no one English word that fully describes the role of the Holy Spirit. We need those other English words to give us a more complete picture of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. So can we remember some of what those translated words are?
Teacher.
Is a teacher, yep.
Helper.
Helper, yep.
Comforter.
Comforter, yep.
Advocate,
yep. Counselor.
Yeah.
They're the main ones, but there's also some other places where he's called the Spirit of Wisdom. He's also called the Power of God as well. So I just want to take a little bit of time to explore some of those because I think it helps us, as I said, give a bigger picture of who the Holy Spirit is and how it helps us in our lives. So Anne mentioned he's an advocate. He's joined with us. And Jesus says he sends him to us to live with us and in us. We are one with the Father and Son through his Holy Spirit. And like Jesus said, in John 10:13, the Father and I are one. Then when we go down to John 14:16-17, Jesus says this, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth." So he gives us the truth about God. He's always with us. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now. He's talking to the disciple. This is before Pentecost. So he's with them now. And later he will be in you. He will live in you. So, and that happened at Pentecost. He came and entered the lives. And now, for those of us who believe and receive him, he lives within us. Now that word advocate means he comes alongside to help and aid us, and can be used like it's almost like a legal term where he intercedes on our behalf like a legal representative pleading our case before the Father. So, and of course, that's what he did on the cross. He stepped in for us on our behalf and died in our place. He is also a helper. So how does he help us? You mentioned teacher. He teaches us by bringing to remembrance what Jesus has said and taught through the scriptures. He brings God's word alive for us and helps us understand what it really means. I remember my mate Greg, when he became a Christian, he said, before I was a Christian, he said, because you guys were talking about the Bible, try reading the Bible, he said, it just made no sense to me whatsoever. He said, after I became a Christian, all of a sudden, the same, exactly the same stuff I was reading, I can't remember what the verse was, he said, I'd read that, like, during the week, he became a Christian, and read it afterwards, and suddenly it made sense to him. You know, like, the Holy Spirit revealed his truth. So he leads us, and he guides us. But he's also a comforter. How does he comfort us? Well, as we mentioned in that previous verse, he is always with us and promises to never leave us. In Matthew 28:30, Jesus promises, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He brings the peace of God into our troubled hearts and drives out all fear. John 14:27, Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I mean, we can go to a desert island and lay on the beach or whatever. You know, we have those moments where we're going, this is wonderful, you know. But it's not the same as the peace that Jesus gives, which is a peace that we can have in the most dire of circumstances. It's not circumstance related. But, and, you know, like we talked about David, you know, the Holy Spirit drives out fear and gives us confidence that God is with us and can do miraculous things in our lives. He's also an encourager. He gives us all the wonderful spiritual gifts to build up and encourage one another and God's church. And I won't go into all those gifts. I think we know what they are. 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 is the central ministry gifts. But that's specifically given to build us up and encourage each other. But he encourages us by bringing unity among believers from all different walks of life, different ethnicities, cultures, languages, and brings us together as part of the worldwide family of God. In Ephesians 4, 3 and 4, it says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, for there is one body and one Spirit. He is a counselor. He helps turn our hearts to God and see circumstances, situations, and people the way he does. He helps us develop a godly character and attitude within us and helps conform us into someone who reflects and is living in the image of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, so all of us who have had that veil removed, talking about the veil in the temple that was the barrier between us and the presence of God, that's been removed and lives in us. We can see and reflect the glory of God, of the Lord, And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. He gives us his spirit of wisdom, helps us live a more godly and holy life, and helps us to help others do the same. Without his Holy Spirit, nothing about God makes proper sense, as we were talking about, as I mentioned before. But he also brings the power of God into our lives to help us in ministry, to help others. We have access to God's all-encompassing power, into his knowledge, his foresight, his discernment, to be his witnesses, and much more. And Jesus teaches his disciples in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So having listened to these things, can you bring to mind where, with the help of God's Holy Spirit, he's made a real difference in your life? Would someone like to share something?
So many. It's hard to pick some specific thing.
I think for me, overcoming temptation has been a big thing. Like, and I've, you know, we all have some bad habits or weak area, and often when you're in the midst of that, the last place you want to turn to is God, because you don't want that spotlight on something bad that you're doing. So, you know, like turning to the scriptures or start praying in that situation, you know, it's been very helpful. But also the gift of tongues has made a big difference, I think, to particularly the amount of joy in my life, but has also helped empower and embolden me to step out of my comfort zone. So is there anyone else that wanted to share something? All right. And but more than just in my personal life as well, also helping in the lives of others and in the wider church as well. I know God has given me like words of prophecy in particular. I can think back in some situations in the church where it was something that no one else in the church had seen that. And, you know, I know in particularly one church where I knew something was wrong with this church, and I just couldn't really work it out because they really loved God and the scriptures and everything else. But the word, that word from God really, you know, shined a light and was the beginning of helping me understand what the real issue with there was, which was they, like the Laodicean church, they'd forgotten their first love. So they were saying all the right things and possibly even doing the right things, but it wasn't out of God's love. So, which is a pretty serious thing. You know, we can't see Jesus face to face, but Jesus said it's better, his gift of the Holy Spirit is even better than having him physically present. That's what he said to his disciples. So, and we know his words are true, so thank God that he sent his Holy Spirit. So as we think about what we've gone through today, what are the main points that is, or doesn't have to be multiple, what is there a main point that's come through to you from what we've said today, or what we've gone through today?
The one of the first things you probably mentioned, I think in John 14,
yep.
where I think it was Jesus talking about being the light.
Yep, the truth, the way and the light.
The roadmap, and this is the road you need to go on.
Yep.
Basically.
Yep. Mm. Yep. Is there anyone else? All right. So, just to summarise what we've gone through, so we've talked about we're known by God, and He does want to know us as well. Jesus made a way for us through His blood on the cross and His resurrection from the dead. Jesus has showed us how to live by His life on earth, both with God and with man. Jesus has given us His wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, who now dwells within us. And we've gone through some of His titles, like Advocate, Helper, Comforter, Teacher, Encourager, Counselor, Spirit of Wisdom, Power of God. Those titles help us remember who He is and what He does in our lives. But how can we be sure that we know God? Well, we can look at the fruit that we bear in our lives. But 1 John 2, verses 3 to 6, also gives us a clue as to how we know, if we know God or not. And it says this, "And we can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments." If someone claims, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. That is how we know we are living in Him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Isn't that precious? Just live as Jesus did. So, in other words, again, saying He's the example. He's the way, as we're talking about. Well, I know when the first thing that we think of when we say commandments is like the Ten Commandments. But what are the commandments that Jesus gave us? What are the main commandments that Jesus gave us?
Love God, love your brother.
Yep, that's right.
Love other people.
Yep. The first one... is mentioned in a few of the Gospels, but Mark 12, Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. The second is equally important: love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." And He also said that those two summed up all the law and the prophets, summed up in those two commandments. But He also gave us a new commandment. Can you remember what that is?
There's a song about it, but I can't think of it.
A new commandment. Sorry?
Love one another.
That's one thing. Yeah, love one another is the one I'm thinking of. So it's in John 13. It says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So the way we love each other will be evidence and a witness to God, a witness of who God is to the people that we meet. So in the first two commandments, Jesus summed up the teaching of the Old Testament and the law. And now this new commandment, to love one another, really sums up His teaching from the New Testament about how we should live. Notice all three commandments are about who we should love. So it tells us to love God and our neighbour and each other. And the more we get to know God through Jesus and His Holy Spirit, the more effectively we'll be able to bring Jesus' love to all those who are in our lives. And that's the challenge for us, it's to know God more. So I'll just leave you with a couple of thoughts. Is there anything that God is convicting you of today? And if so, what do you think God wants you to do about that? So,
can I ask a question?
Yes, certainly can.
The verses that you read from 1 John,
yep,
sound like we have to be perfect to know God.
Right.
So what does it mean?
So, and we can be sure that we know Him.
Obey all the commandments and do everything right, then you can say you know God?
Well, it talks about loving. So, it doesn't matter whether you love a little bit or love a lot, you're still on the path to love. And I think that's the direction that you're heading is the important thing, so that you're moving ahead with Jesus. Because, if you've just, someone's here right now and gives their heart to Jesus and says, yeah, I want to follow Him, they're not going to have the same depth and understanding of the love of God as someone that's been walking with Him, like Paul, for 30 years or something like that. So, God has different expectations, I think, for different people. And even when we muck it up and get it wrong, He's already dealt with our sin anyway. So it's like, you can't really make mistakes, really. I mean, we do. We say dopey things and hurt one another and, in the heat of the moment and even sometimes, even when somebody's been saying something nasty about Jesus, and you want to jump in there and go, whoa, and defend him with all the pain, but, I know a few times I've had to go, well, hang on a minute, that's anger rising up in me. I don't want to speak out of my anger. Jesus always spoke out of his love. And sometimes he was angry with people for the right reasons. Sometimes, I remember when I was in a bad spot once, my mum, I thought I was going to get the comfort hug thing, but she actually told me off. And it was what I needed to hear at the time. It jolted me out of where I was at the time, I got told not to be so selfish and all the rest of it, and thought, I think you're right, actually. So, there's a time and a place for everything under heaven, but...
I guess he's saying this in the context of the beginning of the chapter. He says, my children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin, but if anyone does sin... We have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father.
Yep.
Who is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous.
Yep.
And then he goes on to say about obeying the commands.
The commands that he's, as I said, those two commands to love God and love your neighbour, if we do that, then we will keep the other commands as well. We're not going to murder someone or steal or covet other people's possessions or whatever it is, if you genuinely care and love them. So, there's certainly... God will test us and put us into situations where that's tested, and sometimes we won't come out looking real great, but God's, Jesus' blood still, when you're talking about the Spirit intercedes on our behalf, he's the advocate, when he goes to God, he said, the blood is paid for this. The blood is paid for this. The blood is paid for this. For every sin that we commit. So, does that answer your question? I mean, you sort of answered it yourself a bit too. Any other questions?